Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Rise.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
On the ground, Bogarts got him, and that's the ball game. So, for the second night in a row, a tough loss for the Giants as they take this one on the chin by allowing two runs in the ninth inning after two out. That tied the game. They score in the tenth. The Giants could not. And this one's a tough one, Mikey.
Oh, no.
Indeed it was. Second consecutive night, heartbreaking Giants loss. They lose 1-0 in 10 on Monday, and then they lose 3-2 in 10 on Tuesday. And welcome back. It's the Morning Roast on a Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game. Joe Spadoni out. It's Mark Grandy alongside Joe Shasky. Shasky and Grandy with you here on the Morning Roast. Shasky, I would say good morning, but for us Giants fans, it is not a good morning at all. How you doing?
I'm frustrated.
I'm with you.
I'm very frustrated. You know, yesterday's game, you know, I always want to look for, like, not a scapegoat, but we're always looking for people to blame, right? Just, I think it's in society, you know? And I'm watching that game yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, the second that guy got on the Willy Adames, Casey Schmitt play in the ninth inning.
One out in the ninth.
I could feel Duvall almost, like, starting to short circuit. And you could see it with his mechanics. And when he stops trusting the fastball, even though I think the next guy struck out on a slider kind of down and away, you could just feel that he was losing control. And he's earned the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he struck out Diaz, the catcher. Right,
okay.
After that.
All right. And even that one was a tough at-bat. It was not a blowaway. What was the count that he actually ended up striking him out on? 2-2?
He fell behind 3-0.
There you go.
And then fought back a cutter, called strike, cutter, swing and strike, and got a swing and a miss on the slider.
For him, the cutter is his quote-unquote like fastball,
yeah.
Right? That's the one that you're going to see be between 98 and 101, 102. And he did this in the playoffs way back when in 2021 where he gets out of sync, and then not only are his mechanics out of whack where you can see he's missing in, he's missing away, he's missing up, he's missing low. Then he just loses all confidence in one pitch, and he becomes a one-pitch guy where he can only go to the slider. I bet from that point on to the end of the game, what, six cutters of the next 20 pitches? And I think 14 of them were probably sliders?
Well, I mean, he got Cronenworth to ground out to open the ninth, and then there was the infield single and the ground ball
to Adames.
It was
a really tough play.
He made a really good play just to get the ball in the first place. threw it low, couldn't quite be picked out at
Schmidt
first base.
To dig it out, yeah.
Falls 3-0 to Diaz, eventually works back and strikes him out. You're thinking, all right, like, way to fight back. Then Fernando Tatis, 4-pitch walk. So he's fallen behind 3-0 to consecutive batters and walks Tatis on 4 pitches. Then first pitch of the next at-bat to Arise is a wild pitch. Giants catch a break because Tatis, for whatever reason, asleep at first. Runner on second takes third, which is the harder base to take. Tatis stays at first. Then he steals on the next pitch.
And let me talk about that. They have a problem as a team holding runners on, okay? They're like, because so many guys have the high leg kick. Camilo more than anyone on the team. Logan Webb's bad too at this. He has the real high leg kick. He's working on a slide step. Specifically, Doval has been horrific. So they throw up to give Bailey more of a chance to try to gun him. He had no chance. No chance to throw him out on that. So you're also wasting a pitch there.
Then you fall behind 2-0.
Exactly.
He fell behind 3-0. It's three straight batters he fell behind 3-0 on. Eventually walks Arise on 5 pitches. Then, and I was shocked by this, and honestly, it was a great job by Kruk and Kipe on NBC Sports Bay Area, because then Machado's up with the bases loaded and 2 outs, and Kruk says, Machado, he likes to hop on that first pitch. You better be careful if you're Doval. And I'm thinking, if I'm Machado, I'm not swinging here. Doval can't throw a strike.
I agree.
And he throws a slider first pitch, low and away, so far out of the zone. Machado swings out of his shoes. And I'm thinking, oh, man, Giants got a huge break there. He's ahead 0-1. That'll calm him down. And then Machado just beats a pretty decent pitch and lines one to left field. Ramos' throw too high and late at home. They tie the game up, and they go to the 10th, and they ultimately win in the 10th inning. I don't know. I mean, you open this up by talking about the blame game, right? Like, your mind works where you want to find somebody to blame. My mind, it does not. I mean, Doval blew the save, gave up 2 runs
in
the 9th. The bullpen, honestly, was pretty shaky. Everyone that pitched out of the bullpen was pretty shaky.
Miller and Rogers back-to-back got lucky to get out of the innings that they did.
For me, though, maybe this is unfair because, yes, it was a 2-run lead late and the bullpen blew it. I can't blame this on anybody on the pitching staff.
Well, you know,
he scored 2 freaking runs again.
I know. And we'll get
16 games, 32 runs scored. You're averaging 2 runs a game over your last 16 games played.
You know what crossed my mind when Machado came to the plate with the bases loaded and you had a 2-run lead? Who would you rather face in that situation? Machado? With 2 outs, or Jackson Merrill with 2 outs. I was seriously considering maybe
walking Machado on purpose.
Like Bonds.
And putting the winning run at second base. Oh, bases loaded walk.
Yeah, and Brett
Maine.
Was
that Buck Showalter?
Yeah, Diamondbacks. And Brett Maine was the one who lined out to right field on the very next at-bat. It crossed my mind. I'm not saying I did it, but like in that game, Machado was already 3-for-3 before getting to the plate right there. And he had the base hit up the middle, the one in the gap. In between third and short, 6.5 hole, if you will.
He can still hit.
No, look. It's choose your poison, right? Like Jackson Merrill or Machado. I don't know what the splits are, you know, against those guys individually for Camilo Doval. I don't know what he's like this year, specifically against righties, against lefties. It crossed my mind to just not face Machado. I'm not saying I would have done it, but
that would have been a ballsy decision.
It didn't cross your mind at all?
No, it didn't cross my mind.
Really?
No.
That surprises
it
me.
It would have with an open base, specifically first.
Well,
but
open base, I'm definitely walking.
Yeah.
But it did cross my mind. 2-run lead. Like, would I rather face Jackson Merrill or Machado in that situation?
It would be different if, say, like, I don't know, Elias Diaz was on deck. But Jackson Merrill's a pretty damn good hitter, too.
He is. He's not slumping per se, but he's not as prolific as he was.
In a vacuum, I'd rather face Jackson Merrill than Machado, no doubt. But I'd be facing Jackson Merrill with a run in, tying run at third, go-ahead run at second.
I don't like my
chances. Single beats you.
I don't like my chances in either of them. You know what I mean? I want to make that very clear. But again, this is situational baseball, right? So these are the things that I think of when I'm in the dugout, like, okay, I'm going to go out to the mound here. I bet you, you know, they crossed everyone's mind. Like, who do we want to face? Like, who would we rather face? Machado? You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm telling you. These are the conversations people are having.
If Bob Melvin made that decision, oh, man. He better be ready to face the music if it didn't work out, because yikes.
I hear you. Like,
yikes.
Okay, now we get to the 10th inning, and, you know.
Well, we can't overlook what happened in the bottom of the 9th inning. You just give up the lead. You have a win in your back pocket. A win in your back pocket. Your bullpen blows it. Okay, they've been amazing. All right, offense, time to pick your pitchers up, right? Something you have not been able to do for nearly 3 weeks now. Pick somebody up. And Yaz gets ahead 2-0 to begin the bottom of the ninth inning. Due up, it's Yaz, Fitzgerald, and Bailey. You get ahead 2-0. Yaz, pop fly on the next pitch, the third pitch of that at-bat. Fitz, first pitch, pop out. Bailey, first pitch, pop out. You go down on five pitches, including three consecutive pitches, pop fly, out, inning over, go to the 10th inning where you ultimately lose. The lifelessness in the bats right now, the inability to bounce back, it is just absolutely astounding to me.
After Yaz makes the out, Kruko's like, you know, he's kind of slumping right now. He's 3-for-42.
Understatement.
You think he's slumping right now? I mean, it's so frustrating. And then Pat Bailey, like, he had a big hit off the wall. But you rip one, and it's AT&T Park, okay? And you don't hustle out of the box, and you're only standing on second base after hitting one off the wall. You could see Fernando Tatis is conceding that the ball is going to hit off the wall.
Yeah.
And now, look, I know. He thought it was a home run. Bro, of all the guys who should not think that he's hitting a home run at AT&T, it would be one who only has, I think, 13 career home runs.
To be fair, he's probably not turning that into a triple, even if he's hustling.
Sure.
But that does not have anything to do with it.
And I know he's a catcher.
Principle. It's the principle of hustling out of the box.
I agree. And I understand that he's a catcher and he's got a workload. I'm being pretty fair here, right? And look, Ramos gets the big home run. But the overall point is Pat Bailey has failed to see a couple pitches, I think, 9 out of the last 12 at-bats. He's swinging on the first pitch almost automatically. It's driving me insane.
Well, Sam and I were looking at some of the numbers, and the Giants generally are a pretty good first pitch hitting team,
which
probably explains a lot of their aggression early in counts, but there's a time and a place.
Exactly.
There's a time and a place.
You know,
and bottom of the ninth inning, right when the opponents tie the game up, they force a blown save, that's time to take a little bit of pitches and make the opposing reliever earn it.
I'm with you on that one. Now, let's get to the 10th inning. Cronenworth got the two-out hit.
They didn't execute. The Padres didn't execute.
But he got the two-out hit that the Giants have been dying to have for weeks on end.
But they go pop out. They don't try to lay down a bunt.
They did that the night before.
Yeah, they don't do that this time. They pop out to begin the top of the 10th, and then a ground ball that moves the runner to third. Mm-hmm. But if you're the Giants, you got two outs.
You're fine.
And then the two-out hit, honestly, it was a pretty good pitch by Bivens inside to Cronenworth, who actually chipped his bat trying to dig that one out and poked it in the right field for the hit. But, I mean, yeah, the Padres just did what the Giants couldn't do.
And then
get that big hit.
And what did the Giants do in the 10th inning? They bunted over the runner to third.
Yeah.
And
great bunt by Casey Schmidt. I mean, we're going to be happy about the small things. That's all we have for the offense. It was a perfect bunt.
Sure. But let's take a step back. You're bunting your first baseman. And that's kind of that's a sentence that, like, my brain is like, yeah, Casey Schmidt should be, you know, maybe bunting in that situation. And I like the small ball. But let's also remember, your first baseman, which is one of the more offensively driven positions in the sport,
how many other teams, how many other teams in baseball in that situation, starting first baseman for that day is up to begin the bottom of the 10th, ghost runner on second, nobody out. How many other teams bunt?
I don't know. I don't know how. Less than five?
Probably.
Right? But in my mind,
especially
I'm like, yeah,
today's day and age,
it's probably the right baseball play. But I then, after the inning was over, I go, I mean, what were they? Did they have a better opportunity to score a run from third with one out? Given how bad they've been in those situations, that specific situation of driving a ball into the outfield and getting that run home, were they getting was it a better opportunity, a better probability of that? Or coming through with, like, just not conceding the out and letting Casey Schmidt swing away. It's probably what they did, meaning the probability
Ramos
is...
Ramos on deck. You feel pretty good about his ability to just elevate one.
I agree.
And he hit it hard, but...
Ramos also has a high strikeout rate.
And he hit it on the ground.
And he hit it to an infield that was in.
I don't care if you hit the ball hard if you're hitting it on the ground in that situation. You're not... You just have to elevate.
I know, but this is a team right now that can't execute. So, again, these are like situations. I'm not even mad at Bob Melvin this morning. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, how can this team get some fire in them? How can they get some life in them? And there's a part of me that wants to go absolutely crazy and rage out today, right? Where
I would not be shocked if you did.
Well, like, do I want the manager to just flip the spread and do something insane? Yeah, kind of a part of me does, but it's not in Bob Melvin's nature. And I almost, like, I need somebody in that dugout to kind of snap and lose their minds.
It's not in anybody's nature on in the roster.
They got too
right
many
now.
Nice guys.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Another loss, Shasky. The Giants have now lost 7 of their last 10.
And the Padres, just to give you a little nuggy-nug on the Padres, they're 13-5 in one-run games. And 21-10 in games decided by 2 runs or fewer. And this is a team right now that knows they do have a better offense than what the numbers are. And I was listening to some of the things that they were saying in postgame on the PadresMLB.com kind of like page.
Yeah.
And Machado's like, we know when we're in a tight game, somehow we're going to find a way to win. And you saw it on that final play. Not only does he get the base hit, Schmidt doesn't throw over to second base in that play where they have him in, oh, not in a rundown per se.
He's out by a country mile if he makes the throw, but he's scared the runner on third is going to come in and score. And that's just, you're playing a guy who doesn't have experience at first base.
And he's afraid of throwing it around. I get it. I do. I get it. You're afraid of that. But did you see Machado's reaction after he got that hit? He's clapping. He's fired up. He turns to the dugout. It was very subtle. He turns to the, he's like, yeah, let's go. And we're talking about that fire to end the game. On that throw over to Luis, I always say Arias, but Arias, he fist pumps. And I'm saying, my God, this team just lacks that energy right now. And I mean, look, I know you want it from Adames. I need it from more guys. They got too many flatline heartbeat guys. Ramos, kind of a flatliner. Pat Bailey, kind of a flatliner. You know, Matt Chapman, kind of a flatliner. Yes, flatliner. Jungwoo Lee, flatliner. I need some fire. This team desperately needs somebody with some personality.
Not asking anybody to be someone that they aren't.
No.
But you just need somebody who is comfortable doing those sorts of things. And sometimes who comes in and, you know, not necessarily like being a bad guy, but ruffle some feathers.
Creative tension.
Say the thing that no one else wants to say. Hold people accountable. Like, I wonder what the energy was like in the clubhouse postgame. If
that's a great question.
Like, was it quiet? Was there no music? And probably no music playing. It was quiet. Everybody sitting at their locker, walking to the showers. No one saying much of anything. I want my team after a game like that and after the stretch that they're going through to be screaming.
I do.
I want someone to be fired up. They pan to the guys in the dugout when the Giants get out in the bottom of the 10th inning and the game's over and they officially blow another game. They pan to the dudes in the dugout. They're all just standing top step, resting on the rail, and they're just face, like, no expression, expressionless faces, just glossed over. I want someone to be pissed.
I know. I mean, like, you could feel that the energy with the team is teetering. Like, I'm talking about the positivity. I mean, they're on a little funk right here, and to
a
lose
little funk.
No, I'm talking about, like, as a team, like, you step back, like, they're forget the offensive woes. That is definitely it, but situationally right now, on both sides of the ball, they've been suspect. Like, they were lucky to get out of the 7th inning. They were lucky to get out of the 8th inning. And
lucky they didn't give up more in the 9th.
Exactly. I mean, Casey made a hell of a play on the throw. It was a chopper towards second base to get out of the 8th inning with Tyler Rogers.
And that was right after an amazing double play by Chapman.
Exactly. Eric Miller was hemorrhaging in that 7th inning. He couldn't throw strikes as well. And they were lucky to get out of that inning. And so I just look
they're
at it right now.
Fire late innings, every single inning.
Yeah, but their bullpen, which has been outstanding for quite some time, now they're starting to feel the pressure of multiple weeks in a row with no run support and every little blip. There's not an offensive, hey, we got you, we'll pick you up.
Yeah.
And there's a complimentary way that the game is played. And you saw it yesterday from the Padres. Their 21st ranked prospect was the guy who started the game. Their 21st ranked prospect. He gives them good innings. Then they go to a guy who is their long reliever who gives them 3 really good innings. Their 9th inning guy comes in. He's not their closer. Gives them 3 big outs. And then they go to their closer with the lead in the 10th inning. Right now, that's a team that feels complimentary, even though I don't think the sum of their parts is greater than the Giants. I think the Giants pitching staff's better, but what they have right now
Giants pitching staff is better.
But yeah. They've got a belief in that dugout. They're going to find a way to scratch out wins.
Well, it's crazy. So what are the numbers for the Padres again in one-run games? You had them earlier?
It was 11-5 in one-run games, okay? And then 21-10 in games decided by two or fewer. Okay. And this is what Chilt said. It just reinforces who we are. We talk about this fairly frequently. We have a lot of wins like this, and it becomes more ingrained. You got to find a way, man. And we're able to do that every night.
What's crazy is...
That's a hell of a quote.
With those numbers, I'm not sure if I would expect this statistic, but this was the Padres' first win this year when trailing after eight innings. They're now 1-21. So they have a minor lead, a small lead. They'll hold on to it, but they trail late in games. They don't come back until last night.
Does that sound like a guy that doesn't believe, though?
1-20. They were 0-21 when trailing after eight. I don't have the number in front of me right now, but I can remember like three or four Giants wins when they're trailing after eight innings this year.
But you know it's bad when I wake up this morning and I'm pissed off at Encarnacion for a double play early in the game. Second inning, I'm pissed off about the Wilmer Flores getting thrown out at home to end the inning.
We can talk about that.
I mean, like there's so many little elements. So, like, I mean, do you... Somebody's got to do something.
I don't know what...
Can Bob Melvin, does he have it in him to flip the spread? Like, does he have it in him to kind of get into somebody? Can Adames snap a bat over his knee? I'm dead serious. I don't think Doval is the guy who needs to go crazy on the water cooler, because that would be a bad look for him, given everything that happened last year. It's got to be a specific person. It can't be Doval losing his mind after his first bad outing. It can't, because of everything that went down last year, and then it would look selfish. It's got to be someone who's got some cachet. And right now, like... The only guy that's got to look at Ramos and Wilmer, and I just don't think it's in him.
Definitely not in Wilmer. Ramos is at a point where he might not feel totally comfortable as a guy who's only in his second year in the bigs.
He's the only guy with cachet right now who can look at others in the eye and say, pick it up. Right?
Hit a big fly. He snapped a, 17-inning scoreless streak? 17-inning scoreless streak. And the only times they score, Shasky, is when one of their players just runs into one, when they hit a home run. They don't manufacture runs anymore. They hit a home run or bust, and they only hit a home run once every, 17 innings. That is how bad it has been for the Giants of late. They lose this one 3-2. They've lost each of the first two games of the series. They're 0-4 versus the Padres this year, and they've lost seven games in a row versus San Diego, and they're going to have to win the next two games just to draw even in this four-game series. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We got plenty more to get into on this Giants loss. We got time for your calls and your texts, 888-957-9570+. I know we got to talk about Wilmer Flores being thrown out at home plate and just our general Giants frustration. How the hell do they dig themselves out of this hole? We'll get to that and a whole lot more when we return. It's the Morning Roast, Shasky and Grandy with you right here on 95.7 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Game.
Batting average as a whole, at every position in all of baseball, is really low, okay? You're looking over the last, like, 5 or 6 years, okay? Just year after year. The whole entire Major League Baseball, batting averages are really low. They're in the 240s, usually hovering between 242 and 244, all right? Not since the 60s, since they you know, before they put the mound down a little, have you seen batting averages this bad, okay? So batting average is one element of how we're rating things. There's on-base percentage, there's slugging, there's a lot. I just look at overall production. Runs scored, okay? You still got to get RBIs. You still got to drive runs in. You want to score, all right? Home runs is a way of doing it. And I look at the first base position. And although the batting average, when you compare it to since 1871, league-wide, batting average at first base is down, you know, big time. Now, who's the number one team in baseball in terms of batting average at first base? It's Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers.
I was just going to bring them up.
Okay.
And, he won the game for the Dodgers last night. Walk-off double.
Okay.
Freddie Freeman.
Would they ever consider bunting with a runner at second base at any point with Freddie Freeman?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And
one of the best hitters in the game.
Look, I'm probably way more pro-bunt than anyone on the planet.
They wouldn't bunt with like 6 or 7 of their dudes at the plate.
Exactly.
And they would bunt with Conforto at the plate.
Yes. Conforto. But the point that I'm getting at is this. Although batting averages are way, way down, just in general, at every position, at first base, you know what still drives the day? In the last, let's say, 6 years, you're going to see runs and home runs.
Slugging,
If we were just looking at where are the most runs and home runs hit at the first base position in the history of the game, six of these last 6 years are going to be in the top 15 of all time. So home runs are still being hit at a prolific rate at first base, and runs, meaning the amount of times the guy who plays first base comes around and scores. RBIs are still up. But you know who's dead last in almost all these categories? The Giants at first base. So they have a giant, giant gaping hole in terms of productivity. And it just crystallized to me last night. I'm not even mad at Melvin. I'm not even mad at Casey Schmidt.
No, what can they do? There's no one that they can play there.
This is why they elevated Bryce Eldridge yesterday from AA to AAA. And it's just we're playing this waiting game right now. And I feel like a kid at the end of, like, November just hit. We just had Thanksgiving, and I'm like, the Christmas trees are up, but the lights are going up. When is Christmas? When is Christmas? When is Bryce Eldridge going to get here? Like, that's, and you tell me, like, what just happened to the Dodgers last night? What happened? Say it again.
Freddie Freeman walked off on the Mets with a double. He's hitting .369 this year. His OPS is over 1,000. Chasky.
I can't.
9 home runs, 40 RBIs. One of the best hitters in baseball. They scored, the Dodgers did, 4 runs in the first inning, and they led until the Mets came all the way back and took the lead. And the Dodgers, Guess what? Max Muncy hit a game-tying homer in the bottom of the ninth, and then they win an extra.
I hate that guy.
Because that's what the Dodgers do.
But here's where I'm going with this. So, like, yesterday, it's big news. You know, Bryce is going from AA to AAA. Bryce Eldridge, the number one prospect in their system. Look, there is no sure thing.
The savior.
But, yeah, there's a lot on this guy. And I see a lot of people online. We got to be patient. We got to be patient. Are you going to be patient? Are we going to be patient? Well, we're an impatient society. I mean, we get mad when a text message isn't returned within seconds. We get mad when the phone takes a couple of seconds to dial to, you know, FaceTime to grandma or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we're an impatient society. And I'm just going to tell you what it is. Like, yeah, I know. It's going to be hard as hell to be patient. Okay? As I watch Freddie Freeman in his prime, all right, go from the Braves to the Dodgers in free agency, And do what he's done with that team in division, our number one rival. Yeah, I know. Like I'm admitting, I'm having a tough time being patient, and I feel like a kid waiting for Christmas when it comes to Bryce Eldridge. That doesn't mean I open up the package and I'm going to be disappointed because he starts off his career, you know, let's just say 0-15, right? Let's just hypothetically in this one, he got 15 strikeouts. He's 0-15. Like worst case scenario, making a bunch of errors. Like I'm just happy. I just want to see him. I just want to see him. I can't wait to just open the package. And I freely admit this whole, you got to be patient. Shut up. I know I got to be patient. Shut the hell up. I get it. I know I have to be patient. I'm well aware. I am patient. But it's just, it's hard getting there is what I'm getting at. And so, like, as I see other people opening up their gifts and utilizing them, yeah, like a kid with the Christmas analogy, I'm frustrated here. Let's go.
Yeah, Dodgers go Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, and Will Smith.
I would die to have Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah, I'd take the worst of those five hitters, and it would immediately make the Giants lineup better. I hear you, and I understand, and I think, honestly, and Buster Posey, obviously Giants legend and president of baseball operations, he spoke yesterday before the game after the Giants decided to promote Bryce Eldridge to AAA. He finished last year in AAA for like 9 games. But he's back up there to AAA, and I would imagine no matter what, he's going to stay there until he eventually gets the call to the big leagues. And I know what you're saying, and you said yesterday you acquire a vet like Mike Trout or someone like that, and you promote Bryce Eldridge. You bat him 7th or 8th or whatever, and you take the pressure off of him. It's all well and good, and you can say that. The pressure on this dude is absolutely absurd.
Whenever he
gets the call, just the way you're talking about him right there. And, like, I feel you. I understand exactly how you feel. Whenever this dude gets called up, he's going to have the weight of the freaking world on his shoulders.
But at the same time, I recognize, and again, I just want to see the player play on the big league team. And if he struggles, so be it. Because you know what? What I'm watching is production that's below major league level from the position for multiple years in a row.
Yep.
And I said this to you yesterday, and you kind of thought I was crazy in the sense of, well, you probably always think I'm crazy, but I'm like, hey, look, let's just take away that he's your number one prospect. Let's say he was the 15th best prospect. Wouldn't you be like, dude, let's just see what the kid in the minors has. Maybe he's an upgrade in terms of power, runs, RBIs, just something, a threat. Like, can it be any worse than what they're doing right now, production-wise, at first base? I'm applauding Casey Schmidt.
Offensively, no. Offensively, no. It can't be worse. Defensively, yes, it can be worse.
Okay, sure. Yes. Like last night, like a part of why they lost that game, Casey, and that's a tough play. I feel like a jerk.
He's generally been pretty good at picking those out.
I think so too. Yeah. He's gotten a lot better, and he made a hell of a play on the throw to a moving target in Tyler Rogers in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
As he's covering first base, Tyler Rogers, that is. That's a tough dig out play, but the good first baseman in the league, you expect them to make that play. Like, as much as I bash on Brandon Bell, I think he makes that play last night.
He makes that play.
I think he makes that play.
I mean, even Lamont might make the play last night.
Maybe.
But Schmidt also is capable of making that play. He just didn't in the night.
He didn't. And he's all, but I also, I'm like, am I bashing Schmidt this morning? No. I'm like recognizing this is a guy playing in a different position. He's learning it on the fly at the big league level. And that is a tough play. It's a backhand scud missile from Adames on a bang-bang play with someone busting their chops down the first baseline. It's a tough one. It's a really tough play. I just thought it was a really good play from Adamas to even get that throw off and get as close as it could.
That's the play that Giants fans got accustomed to seeing being made when it was Crawford to Bell.
Yes.
Like they made that play almost every single time. And like we mentioned the belt wars yesterday, yeah. Right? And like a lot of energy was spent discussing Brandon Belt and whether he should be the Giants' first baseman, whether he was even good or not. Baseball is that there's multiple aspects to the game of baseball. You can do what you do at the plate, but you save games, you win games also by making plays like that defensively.
Absolutely.
And the Giants with Crawford and Belt, there's a reason why that was one of the most successful tenures of Giants baseball, winning multiple World Series with those guys because of what they did defensively.
There's
no doubt.
Completely agree. I completely agree. So getting back to Bryce, it's like, look, I'm patient with Casey Schmidt. I know a lot of people aren't. So I get it. You know, the average fan's probably like, what are we doing here with Casey Schmidt? Like, are you really? He's playing first base. I'm not mad at Casey as a utility player, but I also am gracious enough and patient enough to be like, hey, dude, this is a guy out of position, learning it on the fly at the big league level, and that's a tough play. So I'm not coming in this morning like, bench Casey Schmidt. And I don't think we would be that way with Bryce Eldridge. I actually think we're going to give this guy a long runway. This thing like, you have to be patient. Yeah, no duh. No duh, we got to be patient. Have we been patient with Kyle Harrison? I think we have. I don't see people like, run Kyle Harrison out of town. I don't see people saying, huge bust. Now,
there was some frustration last year, but he was hurt.
Yeah, and has he underwhelmed a little? Sure.
Looking good so far this year.
He was the number one left-handed prospect for a year and a half in MLB on Bleacher Report, ESPN, and The Athletic.
He's pitching tonight.
Okay? And is there this crazy outcry that he's a giant bust? No. Now, it's probably different for an everyday player that you see and if they're struggling and whatnot, but I will be patient. And I think Giants fans will be patient. But stop shaming me and telling me to be patient. I get it. I am patient. I watch every night. All right? I'm watching one of the worst offenses situationally that I can remember, and I haven't blown a gasket yet.
16 runs in their last 32 games. They scored four or fewer runs in their last 16 games. It's the longest such streak in franchise history since 1965. Hey, how about this? Their 15th loss this season when allowing three runs or fewer. The only other team in the majors to do that in the last 50 years in their first 61 games of a year, the 1985 Giants.
Lost 100 games and got Will Clark number two overall.
15th loss this season when allowing three runs or fewer. They've played 61 games. They have lost a game when they've scored three or fewer runs 15 times already. This offense, they can't punch their way out of a paper bag right now.
Let me give you the names of first base production that the Giants are hovering around. The Rockies, the Pirates, and the Mariners, and the Marlins.
Three terrible teams and then a historically offensively challenged one.
And not far behind them, the Chicago White Sox. I mean, the first base production, it isn't bad. It's
terrible.
Historically
terrible.
Awful.
Absolutely terrible. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We do have to talk about Wilmer Flores and the decision by Matt Williams to send him from first on a double with two outs in the third inning. Giants up 2-0. If they get that run, they probably win this baseball game. Was it the right decision? You can let us know. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up. It's the Morning Roast. Shasky and Grandy with you. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. That highlight you just heard, Kirk and Kipe on NBC Sports Bay Area. Giants had a lead at the moment. Elliot Ramos, two-run homer in the bottom of the third inning, gave the Giants a 2-0 lead. Then Wilmer Flores, two-out single, runner on first with two outs. At the plate is Matt Chapman, and he sends one down the left field line. Wilmer around second, and they're waving him around third, and he's out at the plate
bust.
To end the inning.
Why you do that to
bust.
Me? Why you do that to me? Poor Wilmer. Just for a second.
One of the, other than Lamont, the slowest Giant, he might be slower than Lamont. They're both pretty damn slow. They send him from first on a double down the left field line. Giants finally get an extra base hit, a two-out extra base hit, and they get gunned down at the plate. Now, it was real close. But, I mean, I know this kind of lit us up here in the studio between segments. Was it the right decision by Matt Williams to send Wilmer Flores all the way from first on a double than left field line by Chapman with two outs?
What is one of the many baseball principles that you hear about running the bases? Don't get thrown out to start or end an inning. At a base, right? You don't want to make the first or third out, which I always laugh. I don't want to make any outs on the base pass.
I'd rather not make any out ever.
Right? Like, I call those free 90s, right? Meaning you want to eliminate free 90s as a team. A pass ball, they get a free 90 feet. You want to, not make errors. That's a free 90. A walk is a free 90. Simultaneously, you want to take away 90s, right? And in that one, I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, Matt Williams is at third base. He's trying to be aggressive. This is a team that clearly just needs a jolt. And a play at the plate can fire everyone up when you send someone like a Wilmer Flores. Chapman needed that, right? Like that hit down the line. Like that was nice. I thought it was like an inside pitch that it felt like a breaking ball that he was kind of sitting on. He just kind of golfed it down the line like a four iron. And
it was low and in.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. Slider. And you're sending Wilmer. And, I'm hearing Kipe. It's so funny. Kipe's like, I can't believe that Machado's the one taking the cut. Well, most high school teams, college teams, from left field, your third baseman is your cutoff home, right? And your shortstop's going to be the one covering third base in that situation.
And Machado, it's Manny freaking Machado.
He's got a cannon, right? And he throws a low bullet. And as that throw's coming in, you could see where Wilmer is like, uh-oh, right? And he's lumbering. He's got that bulky knee. I thought maybe he got underneath the tag.
It was close.
Then they review it after they were going to go to break. They're going to, review the play.
They did go to break, and then they came back with the review. Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, all right, where did the catcher set up? What are they reviewing? Is he out? Did he get under it? Where the catcher set
obstruction?
Up? Obstruction? Right? I thought he gave him an avenue to get in, the catcher, that is. He was lined up on the front end, the inside part of the base path, where you would square out that home plate, and then caught the ball, and the throw kind of took him down toward where the line is. Now, you got 3 feet on either side as a runner, essentially, as you're coming in. And it looked like Wilmer was going to try to get the hand in, sliding feet first in on that play. I thought he was out. I also thought it was the right call for no obstruction. I thought he gave him enough room.
I'm with you there.
I liked where he was set up initially.
That's Martin Maldonado, the catcher.
But damn it, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would have sent him on the play. I get why Matt Williams did, but these are the second guessing when you are that third base coach. God, why'd I send him? Ah, I got Willy Adames in the on deck circle. What was I thinking in that play? Which brings me to the Willy Adames factor. Like, if Willy was red hot.
I mean, was Willy Adames being on deck top of mind for Matt Williams?
I know when I'm a third base coach, I know where I'm at in the lineup, and I say to myself, there's just not a chance in hell that player is going to get a hit right here in this situation. Plus, I know where we're at as a team, and I go, like, I need to, like, there are times I will tell a guy at second base, base hit, I'm sending you no matter what.
Base hit to the outfield, you're going.
Right.
So run.
And it's not an indictment of the team we're playing against. It's more like I am letting you know we are going to be aggressive because we have a zero chance in hell to get consecutive hits in a row with two outs. Am I wrong?
No, it's sad, but it's accurate.
The game is very infectious in the terms of momentum, and it feels like when you are in a drought, it is drought season, Mojave Desert, searching for an oasis. So I get why Matt Williams, and maybe even like Bob Melvin, saying to these guys in between innings, like, guys, any base hit in two outs, we're sending, I don't care who it is. We need runs. And in that inning, two versus three would have felt like you scored 50 runs.
Oh, yeah, and it probably wins you the game. I mean, the game changes if you score a third there, but if you just game it out, you win 3-2 in nine innings. Because if I only gave up two in the ninth, and you would have won the baseball game. But, I mean, how much of again, a good third base coach, as you just laid out, has in mind who's on deck.
Absolutely.
And Willy Adames is hitting 200. If Matt Williams decided to send Wilmer Flores because he has no faith that Willy Adames is going to get a hit, I mean, that's a pretty rough indictment on the richest contract the Giants have handed out in their history.
Think about this. And I've coached thousands of games. If I get a guy thrown out on the bases with my cleanup hitter or my best hitter coming up, that one stings.
Adames hitting fifth last night.
It's things. And you know what I'll usually say? Hey, we got middle of the order. Relax right here. Stay right here. You know what I mean? I'm talking about like guys coming around the bag, and I'm always very aggressive. I'm coming down the line. I got my hands up. No. We got the middle of the order coming up. Let's say Shohei Ohtani, best hitter in baseball.
I was going to say, I mean, that's an easier one. Best hitter ever, maybe.
Okay.
In baseball.
And what would you do in that situation?
You're probably holding him.
I think so too. Though I know that the best baseball hitter in the game is hitting 3 out of 10.
What if Ramos is on deck as opposed to Adames? Does that change the decision for you? Because part of me thinks it was an incredibly close play. It took a perfect relay. Now, it is Machado, and you kind of have to expect a perfect relay.
And it might be your slowest player.
But it is that close at home. Part of me is, if it's that close at home, it is almost worth the send every time.
Okay, because you're making them make a good throw from left.
Not just good, perfect.
And then
perfect plays.
Hit a good relay, right? And then make another good throw and a good catch with a catcher's glove.
And a good tag.
And a tag, exactly. So you're asking
a lot of things.
But it is the big leagues.
It is the bigs.
And this is... Again, this is a team that is not bad defensively. Even though Machado leads all of baseball with third baseman errors, I think we would all agree, like, yeah, he's got a dynamic arm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was just a frustrating play. But this is the second-guessing game that you do as a player, as a staff, as a fan base, you know, as an analyzer of the game. You question all these things. I do think it speaks a little to Willy Adames. Like, they're searching right now offensively. I had zero faith that he was going to get a hit in that situation. I was shocked Chapman got a hit, for crying out loud. Weren't you?
Yeah.
And I wanted
I was
team...
happy with two runs.
I wanted them scored. To be aggressive. I know. So, I don't know, man. But I do think the Willy Adames part, being the guy coming up next, I do think that's in his head a little somewhere. I don't know where.
Matt Williams' head or Willie's head?
No, I think it's in Matt Williams, the third base coach's head.
It's got to be. Otherwise, he's not doing his job.
Exactly.
You can disagree with the decision. You can disagree with – but he knows Adames is on deck, and that is factoring into his decision. Now, you can disagree with 100%. The logic that got him to the decision, but no. If if that is not top of mind for him, at least to some degree, then he's not doing his job as a third base coach. That is always what you're thinking. What's the opportunity cost? What is the chances that I'm getting a hit here if I hold the guy? Because, I mean, you mentioned a third base coach. Worst thing a third base coach can do is, you know, lead your team to an out on the bases, an out at home.
Well, any out on, look, just in general.
To end an inning.
Like, you don't want to make the first and third out at third base is usually, like, the number one thing that you'll hear from a lot of people, meaning there's no need to go first to third in that situation if you think you're going to get thrown out, or steal from second to third in that situation because you're already in scoring position. There's a lot that goes, but in my mind, I don't want to make any outs on the base pass.
Well, yeah, but like as bad as making an out on the bases is, but with a wild send of a runner to go home, you know what's also really bad is if you hold them up and then Adamas pops out.
Which is what happened in Game 7 of the Royals, you know, Giants World Series however many years ago. Huh. Which was, again, to this day, I will go down saying there was not a chance in hell they were getting two consecutive hits against Bumgarner. I'd have probably sent him. Even if that means I'm getting hosed.
But Salvi Perez at the plate, Shasky.
Again, even if it is Brandon Crawford with a cannon, I would have probably sent him on that play.
Was that Alex Gordon?
Yeah. And it was Juan Perez in left field fumbling around with the ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, but look, there's a lot of baseball isms that, you know, what I would say, like, things that are hard, true facts that you hear from a lot of people, that, you know, there's always a time and a place that I just throw that out the window. I love being aggressive. I do. I love being aggressive on the base pass. But it's also right guy, right situation, right spot. I thought it was the right play to make there. But the challenge, what were they actually challenging?
Can you challenge multiple aspects of the play? Can you challenge obstruction?
I think it's one of those things like the NBA where if you start challenging it, they're going to look at everything.
So the whole thing was open.
So yeah, they're looking for the tag. They're looking to see if his path was obstructed. And if any one of those things were, you know, the situation there, they would have overturned it. But that was not the case.
Well, there you go. The obstruction thing, like that, always feels like a big cop out for me. I don't know. I all the catchers in the bigs, 9 times out of 10, are way out in front of home plate, which is where they start their setup.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.